Mm-hmm. Also, in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to a fella by the name of Nicky Silver.
Who?
Nicky Silver.
Who?
He's one of those pretentious New York theater people. He writes plays.
So why are we going to talk to him?
Because he's got a lot of trippy plays.
Does he have $50 for the waif?
He probably does.
Yeah. Should we ask him?
You know we will.
He's rich. He's been in the New York Times. He's loaded.
Right.
Man, so we're saying we've got that and all of this on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. How can we cram it all in?
What are those?
Public service announcements. Corruption and the same issue. Those are the best two places you can go.
Okay, when we come back, we'll probably be talking to the famous New York playwright, Nicky Silver. We'll be talking about weird theater stuff. Until then...
Neil Simon?
Get your pledges in, 749-1444 or... No-
yeah, Nilsson's dead. Oh,
that was Harry Nilsson with the puppy song. Hi,
heavy
I'm
metal.
Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
And on the hotline on 749-1444, straight from the Theater District of New York City, is Nicky Silver.
How you doing, Nicky?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Tell us all about the theater community in New York City and what your place in it is, please.
It is at the very bottom. My place, looking up at the theater community. No, it's the theater community. It's a lively group. It's a lively group of backbiting, venomous vipers out to try to, you know, earn a dollar.
You write plays, correct?
This is accurate. Yes, I do.
What do you write plays about?
I write plays about various and sundry things, ranging from. Incest and cannibalism. I had a play that Marissa Tomei was in that was about incest and cannibalism last year. And I did a play this year about murder and penance and people putting their eyes out on stage. It was very lively.
Have you ever done a play about a late-night talk show duo that is absolutely adored by thousands and thousands and thousands of corn-fed Midwesterners?
No, because I think that it would probably be extremely grim and depressing. That would be more like a Bergman film.
this may be an insulting question.
I've never
here.
Had a play. I've never had a play produced in Cincinnati. I've been produced I just got back from Oslo last week to Los Angeles and New York and many cities, but I've never had a play produced in Cincinnati, so I've never been to Cincinnati.
You know, one of your heroes, Edward Albee, loves Cincinnati.
He's my hero?
Well, in the New York Times, it said you really liked him.
No, it did?
Hold on. Look, give me that article, Chris.
He's not a very pleasant person.
Well, I mean, besides, let's see.
I mean, I
Mr.
His...
Silver cites the playwrights, blah, 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 Noel Coward and Edward Albee.
Yeah. He's Harry Knowlson.
Harry Knowlson.
Knowlson?
John Guare.
Harry Condolian and John Guare.
Who are those guys?
They're very big. Well, one of them is passed away. He's with Harry Nilsson now.
What about Noel Coward? Is he still alive?
I believe you would probably know that he's dead, and you're funning with me.
No. Okay. Edward Albee's still alive and kicking, and he loves Cincinnati.
And well, he's not as pleasant a person as you might have hoped.
I heard he's a total ass.
You did?
Yeah. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Well, I wouldn't go quite that far. We have the same agent, Mr. Albee and myself.
So you could come to Cincinnati, and maybe Ed could get you in.
Into Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Is it like Studio 54 in the 70s? Someone stands at the state line?
Well, basically what you do is they draw a little blood, and if it's blue enough, we let you in.
Well, there you have it. This is Ohio, after all.
Now, since you're talking to Ohio and you're not talking to an audience full of intelligent, introverted New Yorkers, could you please explain to our audience the difference between plays and movies?
Well, plays cost a lot more to attend. And in the middle of it, you get to go out and smoke for a little while. Then you come back and watch the second half.
Sometimes you get to drink wine, too. Is that correct?
Yes. In the middle, there's a break where you can drink wine. And ostensibly, that would be the primary difference. I believe you actually know the difference. Plays, you know, are actual human beings in front of you, whereas movies are merely shadows on a wall.
So if you throw stuff at the actor in a play, you might actually hit the person instead of just having it splat against a screen.
This is true. I have not actually done this, but I suspect this would be the case.
Now, I have in front of me the names of some of the plays that you've written.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you some questions about what these plays are about.
All right.
You wrote one play that's entitled Fat Men in Skirts.
Yes. That play is about, it's about a woman and her child who are marooned on a desert island for a number of years. And he goes through puberty and they become lovers.
Yeah.
And eventually they are returned to civilization. That was the play that we did at a theater called Naked Angels, and where I happened to meet Jackie Onassis. She came to see that play. Shortly
She's
thereafter,
dead now, you know?
Yes, she died very quickly after seeing the play. I feel I personally robbed her of the will to live, and I feel very badly about it.
And here's another one of your plays.
Yeah.
Free Will and Wanton Lust.
No, that would be Wanton Lust.
Oh, I thought it was about, like, some kind of Chinese dish.
No. That's a play. What is that play about? This is an old play. That play is about the play is all about sex. It's about this family and the various sexual escapades, it's very grim. It's a very grim play,
You
ultimately.
Could never run it in Cincinnati, then.
Probably not. Ultimately, in that play, the brother and sister in the family end up as, they end up together. It's a very heartwarming tale.
A big hose scene at the end.
Big hoe scene?
Hose.
Hose. Well, this would be a Cincinnati euphemism for something, I'm sure, that's better left unsaid.
Okay.
You wrote another play called My Marriage to Ernest Borgnine.
Yes, I did.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Good.
That play is about a psychiatrist who is treating a young man who has killed his parents, and they end up, he believes this young man is innocent, and they end up running away together, and the young man becomes a prostitute.
Where's Ernest Borgnine come in?
Ernest Borgnine, did you ever read, and I'm sure you didn't, Ethel Merman wrote her autobiography, and she was married to Ernest Borgnine for 48 hours.
Of course.
Yes, and one of the characters is a little girl who's doing, a blind girl, actually, who's doing a book report on Ethel Merman's autobiography. And in Ethel Merman's autobiography, she says, there's a title chapter, My Marriage to Ernest Borgnine, but when you turn the page, there's another chapter begins, because she felt that the less said, the better. And so it seems like an apt metaphor for the relationship in the play. Perhaps I was mistaken.
Did you have to cough up a few dollars to Ethel to use the title of one of her chapters for a title of your play?
Ethel was quite deceased before that play was written.
Ethel's dead, too.
Yeah.
There is a common theme running through the show tonight.
There is, apparently, mortality. I have no idea Harry Nilsson was dead.
Yes, Harry's dead.
This
comes
as a great
shock. You live in a news vacuum like New York City. We can see how things are slow getting.
Well, we only get, all we get is O.J. now.
When are you going to write a play about O.J.?
75 channels of O.J. I feel that O.J. has probably been exhausted by the media, don't you?
Yes.
But has anybody put together a theatrical stage work based on the O.J. saga?
I'm sure that this is coming. It won't be coming from me, I have to be honest, but I'm sure that this will, I'm sure that this will happen, and I look forward to it. Perhaps Andrew Lloyd Webber will write a big musical and Glenn Close can play, Marsha Clark.
At this point, I'm sure all of our listeners are thinking,
Who the hell is this?
He's a playwright, he's from New York, does he know Woody Allen?
I have met Mr. Allen, but I wouldn't say that I know him.
But you call him Mr. Allen.
I call you Mr. Irvin, so, this is no real indication of a degree of respect.
What about Mr. Simon?
I have not met Mr. Simon.
What about the other Mr. Simon?
John?
Paul
Simon. Oh, because we have a critic name. No, I've not met John Simon either. I used to keep, when I had my first successful play opened in New York City, I kept a running list of all the famous people that came to see it, so that when my career was over in what I thought would be 10 minutes, I would be able to look back and say, remember when I met this person and that person, but neither Paul nor Neil.
So Jackie Onassis, the most famous person ever saw one of your plays?
Well, she's probably one of the most, I think she's probably the most famous person of her lifetime. Don't you? Who's more famous?
Muhammad Ali.
Harry Truman.
Harry Truman. You think, you feel that more people around the world would recognize Harry Truman?
You wrote another play called Pterodactyls. What's that about?
It's about AIDS.
Ugh.
Grim. You've taken a grim turn.
You want to talk about pterodactyls?
Well, if you'd like me to, sure.
It's about AIDS. That's pretty broad,
It is about a young
Philadelphia is about AIDS.
All right. So Pterodactyls is a very bleak comedy about a young man who comes home to Philadelphia, where he lives, and he has AIDS, and he eventually infects everyone else in the family. He's the last one left alive. And yet, it is a comedy, and he builds dinosaurs that he's digging up in his backyard as his family is perishing around him.
So that's where pterodactyls comes from.
Exactly right. And this is the play that I just went to see in Norwegian.
Wow, was it good?
I did not care for it, no.
Really?
Did they translate it into Norwegian?
Yes.
Wow, how did you think that your words translated into the Norwegian accent?
It was extremely irritating.
It was like, scared of you to be to AIDS? Scared of you to be to Philadelphia?
They don't say AIDS. They do say Philadelphia, exactly, they do say Philadelphia, but they don't say AIDS. I don't know what the word for AIDS was. I found it very, very irritating, though, to be honest. It gave me a bit of a headache.
Isn't that the home of Ibsen, though?
It is the home of Ibsen. This is that. But he also is dead, and thus the theme goes on.
What about Raised in Captivity?
Raised in Captivity is a play that I just did that opened. We're moving. And what the hell is that about? I have no real idea. That's about a man who corresponds with someone on death row and their friendship, I suppose. It's about many things. It's very hard to say what a play is about in, like, a little soundbite. I know that sounds, you know, moronic.
We're in radio. We live by the soundbite.
I realize that. And thus, you will also die by it.
Continuing the theme of death.
Continuing the theme. Well, just that one, you know, you live by the sword, etc.
Now, most people envision the life of a big-shot New York City playwright
as... That wouldn't be me, but yeah.
As, you know, a whole bunch of theater groupies and a bunch of wild sex, and then you just stay up for like 3 weeks.
Don't forget
and you do
oil.
A lot of hash oil, a lot of weird lotions and chains and stuff, and then you stay up for like 3 straight weeks on some kind of weird drug available only over the counter in Greenwich Village, and you write a play or two. Is that about accurate, or is that
would,
just...
This would be 100% accurate, yeah. No,
what,
this is
well,
exactly.
What's your drug of choice, Mr. Silver?
Actually, I mean, not to seem like, you know, a real pussy, which I believe is a word I was told I can use.
Who told you that?
Well, I wasn't allowed to use... there was the C word, the F word, and I was allowed to say God. And later in the conversation, I could say damn, but I couldn't connect them with a hyphen.
Well, did you talk to... Did you guys discuss this earlier?
Well, we did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Chris.
But I feel I've not used any inappropriate words. The fact is... what was the question?
Did you take that conversation?
I don't actually do. I smoke about 16 packs of cigarettes a day, but...
Benson and Hedges, I heard.
This is exactly right. You read this somewhere.
No, I got the vibe, dude.
Do you? I
you
get letters.
You also got the New York Times.
I get letters from people telling me, suggesting that I should quit smoking.
You know, you have a pretty smooth, nice, round voice for a guy who smokes 16 packs a day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
See if I sing for us.
Do you sing? Do you...
I do not actually sing.
Do you write musicals at all?
I am working on a musical now. I was hired to write a musical, which is different than when I want to sit down and write a play for myself. I was actually the job. Someone says, we want to do a musical, and they pay you money.
Do you have to write the libretto, too, the words to the songs?
I do not have to, and yet I have chosen to.
Whoa. Do you have a musical collaborator?
That has not been hired yet.
Ooh.
Do you write music?
I know someone who has done that sort of thing before.
Yeah.
What kind of, what's the subject matter?
It's too degrading to really discuss. It's based on, I was hired, do you know, there's a producing team in New York City named the Weislers, who are a lovely couple.
Oh, they are.
You know them.
Oh, yeah, we went to the Hamptons once.
I believe you would be lying now.
Smashing.
She has very, very large jewelry, and they're very nice. They are the people who produce Grease, for instance.
And yeah, it was me. Rosie and the Zweislers.
Rosie would be...
O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. Really? Well, there you have it. And they are trying to produce a musical based on Archie.
The comic strip Archie.
Yes.
That'll be worse than the Brady Bunch.
Thank you so much. I'm doing what I can to make it worse than the Brady Bunch.
Has Hollywood contacted you yet?
Oh, yeah.
What have you done for Hollywood?
Oh, gosh. Lots of things. I'm negotiating things even as we speak.
Really?
I haven't done anything yet, but I am in negotiations right now.
Have you done, like, a Frasier or anything yet?
No, don't do that. It's not what I do.
What, like a TV movie?
No, don't do that. I mean, I don't even... no, they haven't really... I occasionally, when you have any success in the city, you get offers to write things. I was, for instance, offered... was I interested in writing a film version of Mr. Ed, which I declined. And I said I would only be interested if the whole thing could be a flashback from the glue factory. They really, it was not something.
Are you saying Mr. Ed's dead?
Mr. Ed has also passed away. I hate to be fair of Grim.
What about the guy who, what about
Alan
Wilbur?
Young. Alan Young was Mr. Ed's owner.
Is Alan Young deceased?
I believe he is also passed
away. He's a former owner.
He's the former, well, and Mr. Ed is dead as well, so. I have passed on this kind of project. I have to be honest.
What's with this trend in Hollywood of taking old TV shows and turning them into movies, like the Flintstones and the Brady Bunch and even Star Trek?
Did you see the Flintstones?
No.
Yes.
And did you enjoy it?
No, I thought it was a kiddie movie.
It was a pretty bad movie. But, you know, I have to say, I watched it. I was flown to Los Angeles. Have you ever flown first class?
No, sir, I have not.
Oh, well, I had never flown first class prior to this. And in first class, you know, there's no movie. You have a little video monitor, and they have a big menu of films you can pick from, and you watch whatever you want when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched, going out, I watched Forrest Gump, which I have to say I really didn't care for. And the man next to me was also watching Forrest Gump about 5 minutes after me, so I could hate it now, and then I could hate it again in 5 minutes. And on the way back, I watched The Flintstones. And I have to say, The Flintstones was really terrible, but I preferred it to Forrest Gump.
The Flintstones, you just sat there and said, my God, the thing they can do with foam rubber and styrofoam nowadays is amazing.
But The Flintstones at least knew it was a big, dopey movie, whereas Forrest Gump thought it was a serious movie. And so I thought it was a little more offensive.
Hey, what'd you think of that movie where that guy that was in my dinner with Andre made the movie based on that play by Chekhov?
Vanya on 42nd Street. I haven't seen it. I went to, I think, 3 movies last year. I saw Bullets Over Broadway, which I enjoyed. Did you like this picture?
That was by Mr. Allen.
This would be by Mr. Allen, exactly right, yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Didn't see it.
Yeah, I thought it was really great.
Did you see
well,
it?
Well, God bless you. And,
God bless me for liking that after he raped his 13-year-old daughter?
I don't know that he actually raped her, nor was she really his daughter.
You haven't been watching Entertainment Tonight then, buddy.
Watching it. I have it on even as we speak on tape, on a loop. he didn't rape anyone.
All right, what else did you see?
I believe I saw The Lion King.
That was
very
terrible.
Highbrow. I didn't care for it.
No.
And I'm not like, you know, I like a cartoon. I enjoyed Aladdin. I thought The Lion King was really grim.
I think Elton John can't write good music anymore.
Well, you know, it's his hat is probably a little tight, that wig.
Yeah.
It's not all that becoming.
Well, it's not a wig. It's like sewed in. It's like a part of him.
I believe you mean to say it's sewn in, but it would be small of me to point that out. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I didn't care for The Lion King. I'm trying to think what... And I did see Forrest Gump on a plane, but I started fast-forwarding through Forrest Gump and just getting to plot points. Like, I know she dies in the end, but of, like, Deborah Winger disease. But I really couldn't take much more of it.
No, Forrest Gump doesn't die. He lives happily ever after.
No, she dies.
Who dies? Mrs. Gump.
The
hey, I haven't seen
lead.
It yet, you guys. Don't spoil it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. and you know, that man in the crying game is actually a woman.
Hey! I didn't see that yet either.
I didn't see that yet either.
You haven't? No. Well, you knew it, though, by
I
now.
Didn't know. I missed that whole thing.
Another movie. I feel like I saw another movie, but I can't remember what it was. I was going to go see The Madness of King George.
I heard that was pretty good.
I think I'll enjoy this, actually. Yeah. So, and what is the big theater thing to do? What's the big play in Cincinnati at the moment?
The big play in Cincinnati right now?
Uh-huh.
It is a... boy, what was the name of that one? Oh, I just saw it the other day. It was brilliant.
They like to do, every December, the big theater here in Cincinnati likes to do an old fairy tale. Like they do Snow White or they
How
do
daring.
Rumpelstiltskin.
How very daring of them.
That's about the extent of theater in Cincinnati, except for every now and then Edward Albee comes in town. And that's about it.
Have you had three tall women there? Tall women?
Three tall women? Mm. I didn't. That I don't know who acted in them.
We did that Superman
thing.
That's
the name of Mr. Albee's current play.
You know, they did one called Poor Superman, and that was in Time Magazine's Best Play of the Year.
Yes, this is, I believe, coming to New York now, actually.
I bet you have bated breath and can't wait to see it.
I am on the edge of my proverbial seat.
Do you go to plays a lot?
Only when I can go for free, which luckily is with relative frequency.
Well, you're part of the clique, aren't you?
Exactly right. I am the center of the clique. I'm so not part of the clique. It's really sad. It's really sad. But there you have it. I go from time to time. I'm usually just bitter at other people's plays. I have a heart the size of a snow pea.
Why, jealous? Are you jealous of other
people? You know, are you familiar with the word schadenfreude?
Yeah, it's German for
shoddy friend.
Yeah, for shoddy friends.
No, do you know what it means?
Yeah. No, I don't know what it means.
Well, I don't know. They gave you a radio show. I assumed there was some educational background. Schadenfreude means when you are happy for the failure of your competitors and unhappy over their success. The Germans would be the people who came up with this word, of course.
Yes, but it's like Oscar Wilde said, it's not enough merely to succeed. Our friends must fail miserably as well.
Yeah, and I wholeheartedly subscribe. There are a couple people whose success I would enjoy, but not too many. How much money has been pledged thus far tonight? Because I would like to pledge, you know, a little bit.
How much would you like to pledge? Oh. I mean, you want to know what you're going to get if you do pledge?
I would enjoy knowing that, yeah.
We have pledge levels and premiums, just like your PBS station.
Yeah.
WAIF Cincinnati, for $15.
Yeah.
That's what, here in Cincinnati, a buck is a dollar.
I'm familiar with this.
Yeah, well,
this terminology has actually made it east.
Okay. You get the basic membership package, which includes voting rights, which I doubt you would exercise. You also get the WAIF Alert Program Guide. Which
voting rights, national voting rights?
No, just like, should Chris and Rob get a better time slot, you can vote yes or no.
Oh, well, I would like to write in on that. But go on, what else do I get?
Then we won't wake you up anymore.
Sorry, there is no worse time slot. And you also get the WAF bumper sticker. Do you have a car?
No.
Do you have a guitar case?
No.
Do you... What else could you stick
a
on?
A closet.
Do you have a closet door?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
So instead of a WAF bumper sticker, we will give you a WAF closet door sticker.
So that's for $15?
Yes, for $25. Excuse me?
Yeah, so what do I get for a little more?
$25, you get all that. Plus a 25-ounce WAIF thermo mug. Do you like to drink beverages?
No, I like to drink solids.
What's your favorite drink?
I enjoy a little Diet Coke, actually.
Well, you know, if you put your Diet Coke in a thermo mug, and if you like your Diet Coke cold, it will stay cold in this WAIF thermo mug.
So that's almost like a thermos in many ways, and yet it's like a mug.
Hence the term thermo mug.
Well, you could knock me over with a feather.
Do you like to wear shirts?
Well, sure.
Well, then you might want to join at the $35 level because you get a WAIF T-shirt, either a large or an extra large.
Really?
Yep.
And what is that? Well, and how far up do these premiums go?
$50.
Oh, is that the top?
No. At $50, you get the basic membership. That's the sticker and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah.
A WAIF large tote bag. So when you go to the grocery store and they say paper, plastic, you say, no thanks, I have
we don't
my...
really have grocery stores in New York City.
Well, you go to the market.
We go to the deli. Like, we have Korean delis, yeah.
Okay, when you go to the Korean deli and he tries to put it in a styrofoam box or
now,
something.
Now, okay, if I pledge... Okay, so I'm at $50 now and I'm getting this tote bag. Do I also get a thermal mug? I'm just asking.
No. For $88.30, you know, because we're 88.3 FM...
Oh, yeah?
You get everything. You get the mug, you get the sticker, you get the... what's the other thing? The tote bag. You also get your name engraved on a plaque here in Cincinnati, and for all eternity, everyone will know that you helped out WAIF Stepchild Radio.
For $100, can one have one's name tattooed on one of you?
For $100, you can do whatever you want.
You can do... But I think that would entail some participation on one of your parts.
For $100, you can tattoo Chris and Rob on your butt if you want to.
No.
But that's up to
I
you.
Want
that,
my
hey,
name
if you want to give us $100 and go ahead and tattoo our names all over yourself,
No.
Fine.
No. I want my name, instead of on a plaque for $100, I want it tattooed on your butt.
You know, we really don't have clean needles out here.
and
hepatitis runs rampant out here.
We'll do it.
You'll do it?
We'll do it.
Chris will do it.
No, but not for $100, for $200.
I'm not doing it.
For $200, I think I should get a little bit on each butt.
You see, here's the deal, Nikki.
Yeah.
Now,
as
you know, the cost of living out here in the sticks is a lot lower than it is up there in Gotham. So you're $88.30 is probably chump change for a big New York City guy like yourself.
I pick that out from between my teeth before I go to bed.
That's like a cab ride from the theater to your apartment.
No, that's the tip.
So there you go.
So now how do I pledge? Am I supposed to...
We'll have to take you off the air. If you're through talking on the air...
Well, I don't... You know, you tell me when I'm through because I'm here as a public servant.
We have a secretary here. We would pass the phone over to our secretary, and he'll take care of you.
I am here as a public servant, so what else is, you know, you tell me.
Well, if you would like to speak for a moment about how public broadcasting, either PBS on TV or public radio, what it means to you in your life, you can go ahead and do so now.
Well, I enjoy it a lot, and I have actually called my cable system and had all the other channels blocked. So now I only get PBS, and I'm.
What about that cable access show that's nothing but sex up there in New York?
No, well, we have videos for that.
Oh, okay.
And right on my corner, there's a video store where it's four for the price of two every weekday. Well, so you like load up with a shopping cart.
Okay.
So I do actually watch a great deal of PBS myself, and now are you connected? Now see, this might be a bad
No, 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 we're not connected with PBS in any way, shape, or form.
No, I was going to ask, so you're not, so what the hell did you ask me to talk about it for?
Well, you see, it's the same kind of deal. It's public-supported broad. We are public-supported. We're supported by the city of Cincinnati, but mostly by members.
Yeah.
So, you know,
members are actually my favorite part of the anatomy, so there you have it.
Well,
so you have no connection to, say, NPR, for instance.
Right. Nina Totenberg has nothing to do with us.
Do you enjoy her work?
Yes, very much so. Jim thinks she sucks. I like her. I like Garrison Keillor, too.
You do?
Yeah. I like those guys that do that wacky talk show out of Boston. They talk about car parts.
Yeah?
I like those guys, too.
You like them?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, there you have it. I do think that it is important that we support whatever free media we have left, given the state of our current government, which is, I think, a pretty dismal state.
Well, how do you feel about commercial broadcasting telling you how to think and feeding you misinformation?
Well, I think that the unpleasant reality is commercial broadcasting is commercial. It is there to make money, and I think most people, when they watch that, are not reminded of it quite often enough, and they actually believe it's there as some sort of altruistic, you know, medium. And it's not. It's a money. It's a way to make money. It was a little dreary and highbrow answer, I suppose, but, you know, it doesn't. I mean, I get very little of what I end up thinking from the media, but because it's just, you know, it's self-procreating.
Wow.
Did you like that word?
Yeah, self-procreating?
Yeah.
And Cincinnati, you go to jail for using language like that.
No. I mean, it has to constantly reproduce itself so that you watch it more so they can sell more things.
So you're some sort of nefarious, evil, dirty side to commercial broadcasting.
Exactly right. There you have it.
Bob Crane. It's just been a while since we mentioned a dead guy. I thought we should throw another one in there.
Yes, he's dead.
And so next time Rob and I come up to the Big Apple, will you give us some free tickets to one of your shows?
Oh, sure.
I can't wait to see one. You know,
really?
We're interviewing you, but we've never even seen one of your plays.
I know. They're not really, when asked to describe them in one sentence, they just sound like, you know, wild, goofy plays. The fact is, they're actually most of them on the serious side with some humor in them. So, you know.
So how much longer is this new one going to be running?
Well, I think we will run through the summer and then we'll see. And then it'll open in Los Angeles, actually.
And the name of the new one is what? What's it called?
Raised in Captivity.
And what theater is it at in New York City?
Well, I can't say that yet because I haven't signed the deal yet.
Would you like to read a passage on the air from Raised in Captivity?
Are you drunk? No.
Not a real long one.
I don't think so.
Do you act at all? Do you act
No.
in your plays?
No. When I was a child, I used to come out of cakes at Rotarian banquets and that sort of thing, but not really since then.
Do you direct?
I direct plays, yes, not in New York City, but I've directed my own plays in Washington and San Francisco and St. Louis, I think.
Do you do the lights?
I don't do the lights, but I'm extremely pushy and I have an opinion about absolutely everything.
Do you do the costuming?
I don't do the costuming, but as I say, I'm very opinionated. I worked in a... Did you ever hear of Barney's?
You love me, all that stuff?
No, not the dinosaur. Barney's is a store in New York City. It's the most expensive clothing store in America. And before I earned a living as a writer, I used to work in Barney's as a sales clerk. And I waited on many famous people there as well.
Like who?
Well, I used to wait on Madonna from time to time.
You got her phone number?
I believe it's an 800 number. No, I don't have her phone number.
What's she like?
She was very pleasant, actually. It was very interesting because really hugely famous people who would come in and shop at Barney's were always perfectly pleasant and unassuming. Tom Cruise and Madonna would come in and just shop around, whereas someone like Olivia Newton-John, who I'm sure is a lovely gal, but let's face it, whose career is somewhat on the downslide at the moment, needed like bodyguards and people to follow her around with white wine and personal shoppers and whole entourages of attention. So it was a really interesting phenomenon, I think. Apparently not, because I've been greeted with such utter silence. I feel as if the phone has gone dead.
You're talking to Cincinnati and you're insulting Olivia Newton-John. What the hell do you expect?
Is Olivia Newton-John, I believe she's Australian. She is not a native daughter of Cincinnati.
Yeah, but we've adopted her as one of our own.
You have? I don't believe I insulted her. I simply reported the facts.
There are two artists that are big in Cincinnati and nowhere else. One of them is Jimmy Buffett, and the other one is Olivia Newton-John.
Really?
So tread lightly.
Well, as I say, she was a lovely gal. I'm just reporting it as I saw it, you know. Can I tell you?
At every Reds, Bengals, Stingers game, Cyclones, we always play Let's Get Physical, Physical.
These are sporting teams?
Yeah, the Reds, Bengals,
I know the Cincinnati Reds and the Cincinnati
Cyclones.
Bengals.
No, what was that?
Will you do nudity?
Will I do nudity?
Of course
yeah.
He will.
Yes.
With Nikki Silver tattooed on his ass.
Well, if you are willing to do nudity, we will talk.
Do you have nudity in all your plays?
I've never had nudity in one of them, but I'm turning over a new leaf as of
just
tonight.
For me.
Just for you. Because I think America would really like to see you nude.
Because I ooze sensuality.
Well, or something. Something is oozing from you. It's an ugly sight.
I got big pores.
Well, you could have them, cleaned.
Okay, I'll see about that.
I'm just saying, they do that now. They have them vacuumed. People have their pores vacuumed.
Maybe in New York City. We don't do that out here.
You don't?
No, we don't.
Well, you're busy trying on gloves for a good time in Cincinnati.
We're trying on what?
Like, for a good time, you all go down and try on gloves. I mean, is it a happening town?
Yeah, we go try on gloves.
Isn't that what you all do on, like, Saturday night in Cincinnati?
Well, we're not tipping cows.
I look forward to coming. I look forward to it a lot. Well, let me make my pledge, God.
Okay.
I almost said the thing I was supposed to say.
What?
God darn it. Let me make my pledge.
Okay, it's $88.30 is what you want to get.
All right.
Okay, here you go.
Okay.
749-1444, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.